In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
I had a conversation this week with someone who has experienced a lot of injustice in her life. She's probably around my age, but she lacks many of the characteristics which bring me privilege and protect me from injustice. And so lacking some of those keys to power and protection that many of us take for granted, this person works hard to try to create that power and agency in her own life. But what she's up against often seems insurmountable. It's what Paul refers to as the principalities and powers of this world, the unjust systems that remain carefully faceless and anonymous, so that no one can be blamed for the evil they perpetrate. I am frustrated when I meet someone like that, frustrated by my own impotence, my seeming powerlessness to make substantive change in a person's life, much less in the world. I can maybe give a little money or a little food, but I often feel like I don't have the resources to actually make a material difference in this person's life. I, too, feel powerless against the unjust systems of this world, even as I benefit from them. The differences between my companion and I are arbitrary, accidental, and insignificant. And yet these small differences have compounded through the years until our experiences today are very different from one another. And so this question of injustice and unjust systems brings us to our first reading today from Micah. You may not have heard it because we only read a little piece, but Micah is doing what prophets do. And what prophets do is they call out cultural failure to strive for justice and peace among all people and respect the dignity of every human being. Where have you heard that before? It's from our baptismal covenant. And so Micah, speaking of the rich and powerful and war profiteers of his time, laments. They covet fields and seize them, houses and take them away. They oppress householder and house, people and their inheritance. The women of my people you drive out from their pleasant houses. From their young children you take away my glory forever. Micah is speaking to a situation of injustice and war. And to this situation, Micah proclaims change. The way things are, says Micah, is unsustainable. There is a God in heaven who cares about the poor, who cares about justice, who cares about the social, economic, and political goings-on of humankind. And so what does Micah promise? Micah declares the season of Advent, a season of hope and waiting and expectation. Micah declares a season that anticipates a big change in the way things are. Micah says there's someone coming who is to rule in Israel, whose origin is from old, from ancient days. That's Bible talk for a king in the line of David. And yet Micah doesn't mention David. Micah doesn't mention the capital. He doesn't mention the city of David, Jerusalem, that place where David reigned and where kings still lived at Micah's time, that place where David got rich and used women and even killed another man so he could take his wife. He doesn't mention that palace full of intrigue where still in Micah's time it's being ruled by the same self-serving kinds of rulers that Micah's talking about. Micah avoids the term king and avoids any mention of Jerusalem, and instead he talks about Bethlehem. Bethlehem, that place where David was born, the place that formed David, the peasant, David the shepherd. David the brave young man who would fight to save a lamb from a bear. David who would fight Goliath to save his brothers. Micah says that kind of king is the ruler who is coming. One who will stand and feed his flock in the strength of the Lord, so that they shall live secure, because he shall be the one of peace. Israel had kings in Micah's time, but they weren't getting the job done. And so God said, I'm going to send a different kind of ruler. And that is the ruler that we await during Advent. Now, of course, Jesus was born in Bethlehem, and Jesus grew up in Nazareth, and Jesus lived in Capernaum. Jesus fed the hungry. Jesus healed the hurting. Jesus honored the outcasts, and he called the powerful to account. Jesus crossed boundaries of ethnicity and class and gender that seemed unbridgeable to anyone else. And to do all this radical, disruptive work, Jesus recruited blue-collar laborers to work alongside him, fishermen, to be his companions in prayer, his community of worship, and his partners in God's mission in the world. Jesus fulfilled the prophecy of Micah because he was a different kind of king, a different kind of ruler. Do you remember when Pilate asked him, "Are you the king?" And Jesus' answer was kind of ambiguous because it's not the kind of king you're thinking about. Today, at St. Thomas, along with countless other communities of Christians around the world, we carry on the work of Jesus. We are the body of Christ. We are a prophetic community calling out injustice and bringing about change in the spheres of influence that have been given to us. We feed the hungry through Kitchen of Hope, through Advent for Animals, through other efforts. We heal the hurting in our worship services, in our funerals, in our friendship, in our support of organizations like Samaritan House, and in doing simple things like taking flowers from our altar to the bedside of those who are sick at home or in the hospital. We honor outcasts, providing housing to homeless folks in partnership with IHN, and by valuing the accessibility of our campus by building ramps and elevators. We call the powerful to account by doing those things with our few resources that we believe others should be doing with their many resources. We call the powerful to account by contributing our fair share, our marks of mission giving, as it's called these days, to the diocese, so that our voice and our influence and our impact can be magnified through cooperation with the Episcopal Church and the Diocese of New Jersey. God has carried St. Thomas across those treacherous boundaries of ethnicity and class and gender that still prove to be stumbling blocks for so many other communities. God has recruited us, a small parish in South Jersey, to ring our church bell as soon as it's fixed. To ring our church bell right into the dorm rooms of like 1,000 students every week. To invite them to know that they are loved, that they are prayed for, and that they are accepted for who they are. That's all pretty amazing stuff. And God continues to invite us, to inspire us, to do more. It's true, we still await the second coming of Christ, and yet we as Christians are called to embody the promised second coming of Christ, even now, until he comes in the flesh. We're like poinsettias, Christmas trees, that are out a few days early, before Christmas is actually here. A foretaste, a promise for a world that just can't wait. These 4 weeks of Advent that we have celebrated together are a symbol of the bigger Advent that we inhabit, the one that stretches from Jesus' resurrection and ascension all the way to that time when we will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. God's redemption is almost here, but we still have a little work to do. I may not have been able to change the life of my companion for coffee this week the way I wanted to do. I may not have been able to give her a life full of privilege such as I enjoy. But the resources I had were enough for a cup of coffee and an hour spent listening, valuing her humanness, the image of God in her. And so that's what I did. It was not the complete fulfillment of God's redemptive purpose in her life, but maybe it was a foretaste. Maybe it was a token. Maybe it was a promise. Christmas is almost here. It's time to make your final preparations. I have one more gift to wrap. Our responsibility and our calling at this time is not bigger than our capacity. We are called as a church community and as individuals to be different kinds of leaders in this world. God has called you and I to change our hearts, to love our neighbors, and to change our little corners of this world. God has not called us to things that are too big for us, but instead God has called us to use precisely the influence that God has given us to enact the gift of God, to enact the love and the grace and the forgiveness of God, to enact Christmas in the times and the places that we have received. You are prophets and priests. You are the body of Christ, which has come into the world at this time. Amen.